Audacity. Who gave you attitude?
Granby has a new parliamentarian coming out of Thursday's by-election and more in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup coming right up. Thursday's parliamentary by-election in Granby could end up in court depending on the result, with the opposition leader Lennox Linton threatening legal action against the nomination of DLP candidate Vince Henderson. Linton has indicated that he wants to take legal action to validate the legality of the DLP nominee Henderson. This follows a number of letters ahead of the by-election between Linton and the chairman of the Electoral Commission, Duncan Stowe. That legal threat may fizzle if Granbyrian Julius Handbag Gabriel wins the election. However, a win for Henderson and the controversy that followed his nomination could see the matter continue to generate interest on the part of some of the key players. They include independent candidate Handbag, the DLP leader Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt, and DLP candidate Ambassador Henderson. Their voices were heard in the atmosphere that was created around the by-election.
Dr. Henderson has not received a salary from Dominican government since 2019. And the point is, even if he was receiving a salary from the government of Dominica's ambassador, that would not have disqualified him to be a candidate for Dominican Legal Party or for any party.
Because what happened now, the person that coming to contest with me, they are not from Granby. They are not voting in Granby. I'm from Granby. And the people from Granby have to realize they cannot let somebody else here, come here, beat me in the same village I'm living together with them. If in case rain falls, we got every rain falls, we got sun, we got anything happening, I'll be right there to stand for them.
Traditionally, by-elections normally low voter turnout. Is it something that you're expecting?
Yeah, we expect a low voter turnout. There's also considering the impact of COVID-19, not only people who are here who are not inclined to go out, but there are a number of people who are out of Dominica who, are, for a number of reasons, cannot get back to Dominica to cast their vote. So we expect a low voter turnout, but all the same, we see a victory for the Dominican Labour Party.
Having said that, though, the election result has since been announced, with the candidate poised to take his seat in Parliament.
The Dominican Labour Party and Vince Henderson has won the Granby constituency. It seems a celebration has already begun, and from what we are seeing, that candidate for the Dominican Labour Party, Vince Henderson, already can comfortably say that he is the representative for the Granby constituency. Mm-hmm. On the site, it is officially that Clarence and Andrew received 3 votes, Julius Gabriel 161, and Vince Henderson of the DLP 1129.
The situation remains tense in the French overseas territories of Guadeloupe and Martinique, where unrest in response to coronavirus restrictions persist. According to Radio France International, gunshots were fired for a second night running in Martinique, while a nighttime curfew in Guadeloupe, the scene of major riots in recent days, has been extended until 28th of November. While no police have been injured in Martinique, a police official said traffic was still slowed by barricades erected by protesters. BFM TV, quoting police spokespeople, said the shootings had lasted for several hours and that trade unions had ordered the removal of barricades. People in Guadeloupe and Martinique have been especially incensed by a requirement also enforced in mainland France for healthcare workers to be vaccinated. Violence first began in the nearby island of Guadeloupe, where a general strike against the vaccination and health pass rules has been going on for a week and a half. In an attempt to restore order, elite police and gendarme reinforcements were dispatched from mainland France at the end of last week. With a matter of days left for Barbados to become a republic, Barbados Today has been gauging how residents of the country feel about that major political change.
Being a republic, is that going to bring down the price of food? Am I going to get an increase in my pension?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's about time that we started doing everything for ourselves, even though we've basically been doing that right now, but it's just official now.
I don't think they should touch the religious aspect. It's who we are as a society, so that I don't think should change. Sometimes I don't fully understand, even though I know what it is, there's some aspects that I'm not certain about. Again, targeting young people would have been a good way to spread information.
The transition from Republic and Independence should be mixed. She should put it on another month where we could celebrate that particular day and left Independence by itself. So we could distinguish.
Because we're still asking questions. Each time you hear of a new development, there's another question, and there's another question, and there's another question. So I think the referendum should have been done. And I think they should have hold more town hall meetings that the average Barbadian, that you know, don't know how to do the research, how to get into the information and get the literature that's out there, that they would be more educated and involved in what is going on with this new venture.
Meanwhile, Prime Minister Mia Motley is expecting greater economic benefits. She is predicting more economic activity and jobs.
And we are now at a stage where we believe that a number of the key projects that we are looking at are likely to start. We've seen clearing of ground. Of course, COVID really, really hit us hard and put a pause on a number of projects that we expected to start from since last year. The bottom line is that based on what I'm seeing coming across town planning, based on what I'm seeing in terms of people clearing grounds, I expect that we are in a position to see heightened economic activity and by extension, jobs that will make a major difference to the lives of Barbadians who have been suffering from COVID in the course of the last 21, 22 months.
The leader of the opposition New Democratic Party in St. Vincent, Dr. Goodwin Friday, has reiterated his party's position on the COVID-19 vaccines. Dr. Friday says that while they support vaccination as a means of combating COVID-19, they are strongly opposed to mandatory vaccination. On Friday, November 19th, the government's vaccination policy for all frontline workers to get vaccinated came into effect. Addressing the issue at a news conference, Dr. Friday said forcing people to get vaccinated against their will is not becoming of a democratic society.
Firing government workers and taking away their benefits because they have not taken the COVID-19 vaccine is cruel and counterproductive and will create more unemployment and misery in our country. As a democratic society, however, whatever concerns you may have, whatever frustrations some may feel, that must not manifest itself into actions likened to a dictatorship. The ULP administration has time and again broken the trust of the people of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. They have also neglected to engage with civil society and the private sector in any meaningful way over the years. Now, they have resorted to draconian measures to seek to achieve their aims while disregarding the impact those measures are having on our public sector workers and on our society.
The Jamaica Police Federation says it is dissatisfied with the government's treatment of police. Both accusations and claims were made by the JPF president, Corporal Rowan James. As heard in this CVM News report, James outlined several grievances he holds on behalf of rank-and-file officers.
The government, our employer, is very much unreasonable in the treatment that is being administered to us. They have not sought to acknowledge the fact that for 13 years, working overtime, that the government has failed in its obligation to compensate the rank and file membership. They have sought to undermine the efficiency of the Jamaica Constabulary Force.
Acknowledging the JPF claims, a minister without portfolio in the Ministry of National Security, Matthew Samuda, says the police have not been excluded from policy benefits afforded to public servants. He also points to the recent salary and wage increase of 4% that the force will benefit from.
I would find it unfortunate if that's viewed as a declaration of war. That also against the backdrop that the single largest investment into the police force infrastructure has come from this government. So over, I believe it's 98 police stations, which is just over about half, have already seen either renovation or replacement. That's the greatest investment into the infrastructure and their working conditions.
Corporal James says the government has not been listening to the issues of the police and says the 4% increase is inadequate.
They have presented a mere imposition of 4% and a dictatorial approach.
Well, that 4% is across the board, sir, with all due respect.
And with the greatest of respect, the risk associated with the profession is not comparable to any other profession.
Minister Samuda recognizes the need for the ministry and the JPF to come to a mutual agreement. Minister Samuda told CVM Live both parties are now in negotiations to address the issues. Janelle Powell, CVM Live.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Friday, November 26. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.